Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Happy Friday. Welcome in. It's Fantasy Sports Today as we head toward the Super Bowl Sunday. Plenty to get to here on the show, our predictions and all of that jazz. Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Sports Today.
Toward the end zone. It is caught. Seattle's going to the Super Bowl.
Fires up the middle. Pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White.
And good afternoon, happy Friday as we close out the month of January here on Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia as we get you ready for the Super Bowl on Sunday here in South Florida. We got Sean Guastamacchia producing the show. Of course, we have Chris Pavona helping out as well. We're going to have Buck Showalter on the show coming up. Some very strong comments about everything in baseball. The Astros, himself, Derek Jeter. So looking forward to that conversation. And Joe, we're finally on the precipice here. Couple of days to go to the Super Bowl. I think this is something that everybody really needs to kind of get their minds off everything else. Just been a very tough week, 2 weeks of everything that's been going on in sports, in the world. And I am looking forward to this game on Sunday. And it's really fantastic to me because it looks like everybody has their own opinions. Everybody has their guesses. And certainly the point spread indicates this could be anybody's game on Sunday.
I know that's what they keep saying, but I still think it's going to be the Chiefs with a pretty good victory. I still think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows? I won't be here Monday to tell you whether or not it's right or wrong, but I will tell you this much. I still believe that the Chiefs are a better all-around football team than the 49ers. I think the 49ers are a very good football team. We've had a great season. I'm not saying they don't have a shot to win. Of course they do. They're a good football team, and defense does absolutely travel. However, when it comes down to scoring points and it comes down to stopping Patrick Mahomes or stopping Jimmy Garoppolo, I think one of them is way easier to stop, and I feel like this is the moment here we're going to crown the next generation's quarterback, and I think that generation's quarterback is going to be Patrick Mahomes. I think that what he's able to do on the field athletically with the coordination he has, the no-look passing, the awareness at this young of an age, the athleticism, the arm strength, all of those things, man, he is a different kind of quarterback than I think we've ever seen that has all of these unique tools. He might not be as fast as Lamar Jackson. Maybe he doesn't have quite yet the pocket presence of the Peyton Mannings of the world yet. But from a kid who works so hard, from a kid who seems to get it and also is from a sports family, I don't think this moment's going to be too big for him at all. And I think the proving ground last year in the AFC Championship game coming up short, I think that stuck with him a little bit. And that is also one of those things I think is a huge motivating factor. So I think they're going to win this game pretty easily. Maybe it'll get close at the end. I don't know. We'll see. I could be completely wrong, but I'm going to stick with it. I had the Chiefs going in to the year. I got the Chiefs coming out of the year. The Chiefs are there. So I'm going to stick with that pony and ride them all the way to that championship, baby. So you really think this is going to be a tight one, huh? You think San Fran could actually pull this out?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. you know, I really, this of all the Super Bowls, this is the one that I've probably like had the least clue on. I mean, historically speaking, this is in terms of the point spread, there's only been one other time in the history, or at least I don't want to say history, but the last, I don't know, 40 years, maybe 30 years. Let's say 30 years. There's only been one other time in the last 30 years where the game was predicted to essentially be closer than this one. And it turned out that way. And that was when Seattle, I mean, New England opened up as a favorite, then Seattle went to a 1-point favorite, and everyone knows how that game ended. And it really wouldn't have mattered because even if, well, actually it would have mattered. If Seattle would have scored that late touchdown, then they would have covered. But yeah, I mean, that went down to the last play of the game. I could see this really coming down to the last play of the game. San Francisco, unless their defense completely falls apart, which certainly is possible, and it did this year against Atlanta, it did this year against Baltimore. But they play this ball control run type offense, and yeah, I don't think there's any question that they could win this game. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And in general, when it comes to doing these things and making predictions and all these other sort of things, the one thing that I've learned through, you know, now I've been doing the wagering stuff probably almost about 10 years, paying a lot more attention to it as opposed to just making bad picks is what I used to do, just take the favorites and go on, is that I fade wherever the money is. That's usually what I do no matter what. And if you do that, more often than not, you're going to win. And that's usually my tactic when it comes to all professional betting on sports. And the reason for that, Joe, is obvious, right? Like it's you understand the reason for doing that? Like, it's
yes, sir. I got you. I'm fine with you.
Yeah, because going against the public is being on the side of the book. And you always want to be on the side of the book. You don't want to be on the side of the public. Now, the public does get it right. I mean, it happens. It happens a lot. It happens 40% of the time. But there's a big gap in between 40 and 60. You know, there's a big gap in between 45 and 55. There's a big gap between 47 and 53. And so, I mean, 6% of billions of dollars is going on the house of the books. That's the side that I want to be on. And the public is going to be wrong more than they're right. So the public is on Kansas City here, you know, and that now not as much as maybe some other years. There are a lot of people on San Francisco, too. If the public was betting Kansas City in huge amounts to the point that the line would be Kansas City -3 or -4. So this one is not really as divided as ones in years past. But, you know, I still feel like the right side is taking Kansas City and you lose. Like that is the way that I feel like it's going to be. But I took the Rams last year. I took the Patriots the year before that. And I took Atlanta the year before that. So to give you full transparency, now I took Denver, I'm sorry, when Denver beat Carolina. So I got that one right. But I am 0-3 in the last 3 Super Bowls. So I am.
Maybe you should go against the gut then. Doesn't seem like your guts are really, your feelings are really good here.
not in the last few years, no.
But okay, let me pose this to you real quick. Tell me, have the 49ers in the playoffs so far faced a team with nearly as good of a complete package of offense and defense that the Kansas City Chiefs offer?
I think Minnesota was coming off a high and playing as well as Tennessee was playing to that point that they faced off with.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about momentum. I'm talking about true personnel execution.
I can't sit here and say that the body of work for Tennessee was more impressive than it was for Minnesota. The late season body of work for Tennessee was more impressive just when they sort of figured things out at the end of the year. But talent on the side of Minnesota to me is just as good as the talent on Tennessee, if not better.
But so I'm talking about Kansas City. That's what I'm talking about. Come on,
Kansas City played Tennessee, right?
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is Kansas City also has other big victories at the end of the year. And the only other big victory that I thought the 49ers really had that was impressive at all was going into Seattle and winning. And that was by the skin of their teeth. They also lost to Seattle at home in their building in overtime. They also lost to Baltimore on the road. So what I'm getting at is this. They have made the most of every opportunity they've had, and that's all you can do. I don't think they have played a team that is playing as well as Kansas City is playing right now, that has as much personnel as Kansas City has right now, has a quarterback as good, a wide receiver as fast, and possibly also a defense that is as well-rounded right now as the Chiefs defense has played in the last, I would say, 6 to 8, 6 weeks or so of the season. So that is where, to me, I think we have a skewed view of the 49ers just slightly because of what the NFC was this year. And really, I mean, the one thing that we all know always gives the 49ers fits is the quarterback who can move around. The guys that stand up in the pocket like Kirk Cousins, the guys that stand up in the pocket like Aaron Rodgers, They get their butt handed to them by this team. This is not a problem for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think this is going to be a problem for the 49ers because Mahomes is exactly that type of quarterback. And I think that's going to give him a big problem on Sunday.
Yep. Well, we certainly will see. You know, again, when I look at these things, I just go against the public, and that's, it's not even a breakdown. This game is a pick 'em game. Like, it's not even, the spread is not really even involved in this one. So it's just a tough one for me, really tough one. But do like some props. I'll go over some of those a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, you got the opening drive here on Fantasy Sports Today. Want to make sure you stay tuned to that. Everything going on in the world of sports on this Friday. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
Cut the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
And welcome back. It is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today. We close out the fantasy football season. We close out a lot of our football content today. And we end with the top story that happened. I'm going to start over. Wow, lost it.
The story. What's the story, Quag?
Wow.
Drink today. That's all right.
All right, here we go. Redo on opening drive. First time in months, probably. Welcome back. It is the opening drive on Fantasy Sports Today as we close out the month of January. We also close out the football season today here on the show. And let's get started. The opening drive, we got the Carolina Panthers, who really appear at this point to be turning the page on everything that's happened in the past, no question. As they decide, Joe, they're parting ways with Greg Olsen, doing it in a nice way by saying that they're parting ways with Greg Olsen. Olsen's got a very difficult decision to make at this point. Does he play another year in the NFL? Does he go into broadcasting? We know he could succeed at either way. Olsen got to be opening up the door for playing one final year wherever he wants, maybe chasing that Super Bowl ring. Certainly a possibility. Had a lot of success with the Bears, a lot of success with the Panthers. Is it possible we see Olsen one more year? Or you think Joey heads right to the broadcast booth?
If I were him, I'd head right to the broadcast booth. I don't get it at this point, what Olsen's playing for. I mean, I understand he's trying to play for a ring. but I don't know what's left in the tank. He's had so many injuries the last couple of years, and he's so good on camera. He's a likable guy, obviously a very handsome fellow as well. I don't get why you wouldn't just get in the suit, get on NFL Network or any other network for that matter. I'll tell you what, if I was ESPN, I'd be all over Greg Olsen trying to get him in there because I think he'd be terrific on TV. But I don't know. I don't see what the draw is. But then again, who am I to tell a guy to stop playing the game he loves if he thinks he can go out there? There are some teams that could use a tight end, but some teams that are contenders that could use a tight end. But I just don't know what Greg Olsen has left in the tank. Do you think he has anything left in the tank that actually help a team that is a contender that would be the kind of team that Olsen would want to play for to get that one shot in the ring?
I mean, the tight end position is so fickle every year. You know, my guess is a team like Seattle could use him. I know that, you know, they had a couple Disley and Hollinger. Hollister, is it? Or is it Hollinger?
Hollister.
Yeah, Hollister came on late in the year. I could see Seattle signing Greg Olsen and having him play with Russell Wilson for one season and chasing that ring. Yeah, I mean, there's teams that could use him. Do I think that that's going to happen? Probably not. I think that it would be better for him. He's had some concussions over the course of his career. He is a great broadcaster, looks great on TV. But if the fire still burns, yeah, I think a team takes a shot on him. He could also, you know, do the Antonio Gates thing where he retires and then comes back when if he's needed by a team that loses a tight end. It's the NFL. Guys get hurt. I could see it. But at the very least, a very good career. Probably not a Hall of Fame career. Probably somebody that will be nominated several times for the Hall of Fame. Maybe gets in eventually one day. But followed his career here at the University of Miami and then in beyond. So congratulations to him. Second down here, speaking of Miami, the Hurricanes program, Joe, brings back an old favorite, Ed Reed, Hall of Famer. I don't know that this will make a huge difference in the program. He did have a cup of coffee coaching with the Buffalo Bills, but he's going to basically be the czar, the overseer of the Miami program. There's a lot of debate going back on social media as to what he exactly will do at the University of Miami. No one's really sure. Will he be involved with the coaching? Will he just be wearing a hat and shaking hands? I don't know the answer to that, but I suppose anytime you add one of the greatest players in his position in NFL history to oversee the program that you played for, it's got to be at least a good start.
Well, you would think so in theory. I think Ed Reed is Ed Reed is one of the great players to ever play this game. One of my favorite players as well to watch play the game. We've had mixed results with this, though. The super talented player, the figurehead type guy at a place go and mixed results. You know, you could always go back all the way to Magic Johnson coaching the Lakers. If you want to remember, sometimes it doesn't always work that way where you get the franchise type guys or the guys that you're so proud of in your program coming back and being a big part of that program. Doesn't always work out. I hope it does. I mean, you would know better than I, you know, being down there, what your thoughts are on, you know, do you believe that Ed Reed is a guy that can bring something there in that sense to this program? Because, I mean, certainly Miami once upon a time when we were younger was a juggernaut program, the Jimmy Johnson years. And then even post Jimmy Johnson years, Miami, you know, the second part of the U 33rd documentary was certainly pretty great. Do you think that Miami in the current climate of professional football, in NCAA football, can actually get back to being one of those programs again? Or do you think that the SEC is just basically burying everybody forever?
Yeah, I don't think so. But I do think it's a good start. I do think it's nice to have somebody associated with their program that clearly has been a great player and knows what he's doing. I think people are underestimating how important it was for Miami to snatch up De'Eriq King, who transferred from Houston when we did our fantasy football, college football draft. Back in August, John Lobb took De'Eriq King number one overall, and then he's the new quarterback at Miami. He'll be an NFL quarterback, too. So they have a chance to be a good team this year. But there's so much competition, and it's not really just about the SEC, Joe. It's about the emergence of Central Florida. It's about South Florida. It's about FIU, FAU. 20 years ago, these programs were just getting started. They didn't even exist. And now, what would you do, Joe, if you're Devin Singletary and you could be the fifth running back at Miami? Would you do that, or would you go to Florida Atlantic and be the number one guy? You know,
I mean, that's
exactly the difference. True. And that's not, and that didn't exist 20 years ago, and now it does. And so these kids have a choice. All the games are on TV. All the games are streaming on the internet. 20 years ago, they were not. They wanted to be on television. And now, not just in Florida, but in Texas and in California, all these other schools are coming up. They're becoming good. And it's about the individual as opposed to the school, as it should be. If you're a kid, you want to play in the NFL, you make your choice. Do I sit behind a running back? Do I sit behind Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State for another year? Or do I transfer, go somewhere else to play? And the answer is you transfer. And so that's why FIU and FAU and Central Florida and USF, once every 3 or 4 years, they're good. They're really good because these kids develop. They're good. They leave and then they, you know, re-recruit again and rebuild. Miami's a victim of that. That's the problem. They're not going to be able to be this juggernaut of constantly bringing in kids because there's just other choices now. And I don't think that will change. Okay, over to baseball for third down. Hirano ends up signing with the Mariners a couple of years ago. Joe, he goes to Arizona. Pretty good pitcher. Pretty good high leverage pitcher late innings, but he didn't end up really being the ninth inning guy or the closer that we thought in fantasy. I guess the Diamondbacks figured that out too. They basically let him go. But I would think, and we talked about this yesterday, with McGill really being the only one in the ninth inning with Seattle, Hirano in the AL format, and I'm guessing in a 15-team mix, maybe a nice little handcuff to have potential saves. If I had to, you know, put a total on Hirano's saves for the season, I'd probably put it at like 5.5 or 6, and maybe you get an over out of that. Maybe you don't, but worth a late round dart.
I think you might be right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on McGill. I don't think you are either. Not that this team's going to have a whole lot of saves anyway, but, you know, they're not going to be blowing out a lot of teams in the same sense of that. So it makes sense. You know, the quote from DePoto is, "We're glad to have Yoshi on board. We believe his combination of experience and bat missing abilities brings needed stability to our bullpen." So the one thing that outlies there is experience for me. That's something that typically most organizations prefer. They prefer to go with the guy who might not have the best arm in the bullpen. They prefer to go with the guy who might not be the youngest with the most strikeout upside, the guy that you want on your fantasy team to be the guy who's closing games. They tend to go with the person who has the most experience because in baseball terms, it's about how do you get those three outs, not how sexy do you get those three outs. And unfortunately, that's where we always have that strain. And I think there's always been a big strain in the fantasy community because we always see those guys, like the haters of the world a couple years ago, emerge and go, "Oh, why can't he be the save guy?" And then eventually he does become sometimes. But I mean, this always goes back to, oh gosh, I was trying to remember who that guy, it was Greg Holland when he was young, trying to get that job away from Jonathan Broxton. And Broxton was just hanging on by a thread. He still got that job that year. And everyone was just rolling their eyes like, he's nowhere near as good. Look at the K-walk ratio. Look at the K/9. Holland's blowing guys away. It doesn't always work out that way. So hopefully Hirano's one of those guys where it does work out for here. Because, like you said, we're always looking for more saves. And if you don't draft him or he goes undrafted because he flies under the radar, a guy that probably you want to monitor on your waiver wire.
Yeah, a low number for prediction of saves, but you never know. He'll take him late in the draft and we'll see. All right, and so on fourth down here, we go to a Twitter post here by Tom Brady. Why this happened, I have no idea. Why in the world, Joe, would Tom Brady post a picture of himself either leaving or walking into a stadium? I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why he did it. He apparently is here in Miami enjoying the Super Bowl. Why do this? What's the point of this, Joe?
Leverage. It's all about leverage. Why did he clean out the suite? Were they doing work to the suite? Did they tell his wife you have to clear out your suite because we're repainting it? Could have been. Or maybe it's just leverage. It's all just leverage. Tom Brady's not going to play forever. And when Tom Brady's not playing football, he's not going to live in New England anymore. I mean, we all know that that's coming to an end. So he's probably going to move to Los Angeles or somewhere else because let's not forget, he's from California. I mean, I think we all forget that he's from California. So why the hell, if you're from California and your wife's a supermodel and all that stuff, that you're going to live in cold New England and have to shovel snow? Not that he shovels it, I'm sure.
But what does it mean?
It means nothing. It's just a cool artistic picture of am I leaving or am I coming in? Am I coming back or am I walking away?
Oh, I guess I like it.
It's fun. It's leverage.
I guess he likes the troll game. I never would have thought that from him. But
I just think it's a cool picture. It's a cool silhouette picture.
Yeah, but it was done with a purpose, though. When you don't post something like that for nothing. So, I mean, something's coming with him. I think
it's a metaphor for negotiation. That's what I think.
Maybe so. Maybe not. I mean, nobody knows. Don't know why he did it. Just popped up yesterday and made us talk about it. So I guess it was mission accomplished with Tom Brady. For sure.
There you go.
Okay, coming up next, we will dive into some fantasy baseball and, of course, news of a retirement in baseball as well. That's coming up next. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening up a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sports book. Go to FanDuel.com/grid where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open up a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, open up your new account, claim your free wager of up to $500 today. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Remember, to use FanDuel, you got to be in New Jersey, you got to be 21, and there are some eligibility restrictions, so make sure you check those out online. Before we get into some starting pitching discussion, we got to go back. Earlier this morning, Curtis Granderson announced his retirement, and I got to say, I've covered a lot of guys in the big leagues, and I've spoken to a lot of guys in the big leagues, and I had a chance to really cover Curtis Granderson full-time this past year when he was with the Miami Marlins, and obviously a season that I'm sure that he would admit was not his best, to put it mildly. He had a negative WAR last year, and certainly on the field didn't do what he would have liked to do. But off the field, the Clemente winner, Martin Prado on my podcast said that he is the Jackie Robinson of this age, of this era. Once upon a time in fantasy, hit back-to-back 40 home run seasons with the New York Yankees, 2011-2012. Was actually a pretty good player, too, when he moved over to the New York Mets at a pretty good on-base percentage, was still fantasy relevant as of like 3 years ago. Was a base stealer in Detroit as well. But for all the things, I got to say, Joe, that he did on the field, and don't get me wrong, a great player, 344 home runs, 150 steals, on-base percentage of 337. That's excellent. I'm going to remember him for more of all the things that he did off the field with his foundation and the things that he did at his hometown of Chicago. Not even covering him full time prior to him coming with the Marlins would call me by name when I would see him in spring training. I was like, how would this guy even know my name? I was so like in awe of just how amazing he was, and always did things on his terms, was brought into Miami to just kind of develop some of those young kids and be a good personality and be a good guy for those kids, and mission accomplished there, and leaves nothing on the table, Joe, after playing Major League Baseball for a total of 16 years and another 4 years in the minor leagues, a 20-year career. And congratulations, Joe, to Curtis Granderson, who hangs it up today.
Who has a bright future ahead of him, too, and no matter what he chooses to do. I think he would be a fantastic president of a national league or something like that, or any sort of maybe a player's representative at some point or something. I think that he has the ability to be a great ambassador of the game on whatever spectrum he chooses to be a part of it. I would love to see him continue to do a lot more with inner city kids and continue to develop more black athletes into the game right now, because I think that's glaringly missing. And I'd love to see a lot more African-American athletes in baseball, because in our youth, there were a lot more. And I think the game was better for it. And you've seen a lot of a push towards NFL, towards NBA. And baseball is a longer potential career because you have professional baseball levels, whereas in football, you don't. And in basketball, you kind of do, but it's European League and all that stuff. You could debate all that. But at the same time, I think Curtis Granderson would be a terrific broadcaster. He would be a terrific, basically anything he wanted to do, because he is such a warm, bright man, a guy who knows the game, understands the game, has respect of his peers, has respect of his opponents. And I think that that's a rarity in today's game. So I think he's always done great things. He always did great things to the community when he was a Met. I was well aware of them living here in the New Jersey area. And I hope he just decides to do whatever makes him happy. But knowing him, and I know he's a big fan of the educational programs too, if memory serves, both of his parents were teachers. So I'm sure he's going to do something that has more to do with that and continue to outreach and to help educational programs across the board, too, which is more important than any sports thing he could ever do. So a good career for Curtis Granderson, and we wish him all the best to a Hall of Fame guy, whether or not he gets into the Hall of Fame. But I think as a ball player, as a person, you'd say Hall of Fame guy. You know what I mean? I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah. He told me, and he's told others, too. I don't think that it was an exclusive of any kind, but he did tell me that coaching is not going to be in his DNA. I don't think that that's what he wants to do. I think after 20 years of playing, he's done being on the field. I think maybe a special assistant of some kind could be possible. But I do think broadcasting is without a doubt something that he could shine in very significantly. If it was me, I would be after him on all of the networks. I could look at him as making him one of the primary guys on a network. And I got to say this, and of course, everyone who knows me knows how close I am with Cliff Floyd. And I think that there needs to be in broadcasting and on television a lot more voices from African-Americans on TV and radio. I mean, there are not enough. And you talk about,
MLB Network would scoop him up tomorrow if he wants. I'm sure the offer is already there. Don't you think?
I would think so. I would also, honestly, I am not a huge fan of the Sunday night crew on ESPN either. And I would immediately make him the primary guy there. I would make him the media.
Would you rather be calling games if you're him, or would you rather be the studio guy? Because one's traveling and all that stuff, and, you know, different kind of prep, different kind of job. You know, when you're calling, you know, the number two chair in a baseball game, it's very different than sitting at the desk and getting to go over every game, and then you go home at night. It's a very different kind of a
feel. They all do it. They all do it. So, I, you know, I mean, look, Smoltz does MLB. He does the games. Cliff does MLB. He does the Blue Jays. They all do both. I mean, it's a money making proposition.
Well, whatever he wants to do, I'm sure the world.
Yeah, he'll be fine. You know? He'll be fine. And again, I would love to see him there on Sunday night. I would love to see him anywhere where he could be the primary person. To be honest, if I was Fox, I would make him the main guy on the World Series in the postseason. I would. I mean, maybe not doing the game with Joe Buck. I mean, right out of the box. But again, I mean, look who they put with Joe Buck on football. That guy's the number one guy right now. So who knows? I mean, Tony Romo. I mean, who's to say he's not?
Well, that would
Tony
be replacing Romo. Who did the World Series this past year? Now?
Smoltz.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, Smoltz does a great job. I really like Smoltz on there.
Some people don't like him. I mean, who knows? I like John Smoltz. I know John Smoltz. But again, I'm just saying that there's a wealth of opportunity out there for him. I think we both would agree on that.
Yes.
And the game needs that in a very big way, in my opinion, as well. All right. Let's take a look at some starting pitching here. And it's really interesting here. I've been tracking now the NFBC. It's like one of the things that I do every day now is I look at the NFBC updates and after the drafts, who's moving up and who's moving down. Starting to get more involved in it now. Joe, who are some of those later options that you're looking at right now? Because, you know, right now it's like strikeouts has become such an important part of the game when you're drafting. Who are some of those guys for you that fit that bill that if you don't get them at the top, you can get them near the bottom?
Well, if I asked you, Craig, how many pitchers struck out 200 or more hitters last year? How many would you say? What would be the number if you took a stab at it, took a guess?
Sure. Okay. I'll say 8.
Higher, Bob. 200 or more.
200 or more. I'll say 14.
Higher, Bob.
Wow. Okay.
Come on, take a look. Come on, give one more.
21.
Higher.
30?
24. That's 24. 24. And then you had, let's see, one.
So maybe they're not as important as
other
I thought.
One.
That's a bad analysis.
Well, they are. No, see, they are. And I'll tell you why. It's because it's very easy to fall behind. And if you don't address it, it's very hard to play catch up. And you will be very far behind in strikeouts. Now, if I told you in 2009, there were only 10 pitchers that struck out 200 or more guys. That's it. Just 10 that year. Some of the names, by the way, on that list are fun. Felix Hernandez, Giovanni Gallardo, Dan Haran, John Lester. Oh, John Lester. Javier Vasquez for Atlanta that year. Tim Lincecum. So what's changed so much is the hitter approach. Hitter approach has changed significantly, where strikeouts are not nearly as big of a negative in the way people look at baseball now. So guys are trying to hit more home runs, and the approach is very different than what it was even 10 years ago. And someone said to me actually on Twitter, because I tweeted this out, and they said, well, then how do you approach it? And would you just approach it the same way you always do? Because it's just the way the league is. And I said, no, because I think 10 years ago, you could not sacrifice whip and ERA to the extent you can now in order to make sure you get strikeouts. And I think you almost have to. So when you're looking at this, it's not only the evolution of pitching, guys who throw harder than they did 10 years ago, just generally speaking, but also the evolution of approach in hitting. And I believe we're at a point now where you have that. And it's changed so much that it's not enough to have one 200 strikeout guy on your rotation. You have to have 2 to 3, maybe 4, in order to just keep pace. And I don't even mean win strikeouts in season long. I mean, keep pace. So here are some guys that have high K per nines that you can look at that aren't going quite as elite. But one guy is like in that, you know, second or third SP tier is Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray is going to have a high ERA, but the strikeout total is there. And these are some guys who have K per nines above 8. Robbie Ray is at 12.13 last year. So still a high rate there. Chris Archer is another one. Yeah. I come back to Chris Archer, and we touched on him yesterday. Not healthy last year at all. Chris Archer, historically in his career, very high strikeout rate. Sometimes at the cost of some whip and ERA and all that other stuff. However, if he is healthy in this scenario, in the National League, I think that's a guy you could take late who can make a run at 200 strikeouts and come significantly cheaper. Max Fried, another guy. Kind of a surprising guy when you look at K per nine that you might not think might be in this higher tier group, but he was actually 22nd overall with a 9.4 K per nine last year. So do you think Max Fried is a guy that you would trust going into this year to give you K's? Because I do.
Yeah, I think this name of all the ones on the list is the one potentially that I'm the most interested in. Yeah.
Okay. And that's why, because I of the team he pitches on.
And he really showed a lot last year. Like I think he's one of those pitchers that just simply took a long time to develop. And we weren't really sure about him. And we thought 2 years. I mean, remember, he was their top prospect under Coppolella when Coppolella was the GM a few years ago. And he fell back a lot. You know, other guys kind of jumped him. Some people thought Kyle Wright was better than Max Fried, Joe. Going into the year, I think Kyle Wright was going ahead of Max Fried and being auctioned for more than Max Fried in drafts. So, you know, some guys just take some time. And I do like him. And I'm going to own him this fantasy season. I am. This is probably the only guy in the list that I'm looking at that I'm like, okay, like this is one that I want to take a shot on.
All right. Well, some other guys, too. And we're talking like not everyone's perfect, but I'm just talking. Let's say you fall behind on K's a little bit. You want to try to make up some ground. Joey Lucchese, pretty good strikeout rate. Also showed you some moments of having, you know, being a pretty good pitcher that could take another level in his game. I do think there's another level for Lucchese. He's going at a very low ADP right now, which makes it very nice. Descalfani with the Reds. I think Descalfani is another guy. He's going to have an, you know, 8.5 or so K per nine. That's a very strong number. Joe Musgrove with the Pirates is another guy. Julio Teheran has had a very good strikeout rate. Now, I think Teheran's one of these pitchers that getting out of Atlanta could be a good thing for him. He seemed to just like keep spinning his wheels there. He was there his whole career. He never quite lived up to the hype of what they want him to be, but at the same time, he's been a pretty durable guy. That's another guy, because of the durability, because of the change of scenery, I think actually could be a positive for him. And the last two are Reynaldo Lopez of the White Sox and Jacob Junis of the Kansas City Royals. Again, maybe not the highest profile pitchers, maybe not the pitchers are going to get you the most wins or the best ERA, but if you fall behind in K's, I think they are some pitchers that you can really look at and say, all right, I need to make up some ground here or even just keep pace. I think K's are, you know, the new thing where maybe it used to be batting average with hitters or stolen bases with hitters. K's are the new tiebreaker for me because I can't fall behind and I want guys in my rotation who are going to get those strikeouts.
All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports today. Come back with some ADP, high, low, the same in March. Find out next. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. We're headed toward the Super Bowl on Sunday. And my wish did come true, Joe. I did ask... I mean, people are asking me, like, where am I? Why am I not in Radio Row? It's like it's so annoying all week long. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's a good thing that people miss me or they think that I should be doing that. But
well, clearly, you know, they don't spend as much time as we spend together.
Exactly. They would know. Already. They would be like, exactly.
Just enough.
After six months, it's enough. So, yeah. So, you know, to give people an idea, as I said, you know, the option was there. I am quite sure Sports Grid would have had me there and all that. It's just. I've done so many, and I don't want to sound old and crusty, but I've done so many of these Super Bowls before. And, you know, quite frankly, I don't love the audio. I don't love the programming. And it's just a lot of times you're not really getting great stuff from these. Now, look, the opportunity to interview Tua Tagovailoa yesterday on Radio Row. Yes. Like, OK, like there's that was great. If you can get Tua to come over and sit down with you on Radio Row. Like, yes, absolutely. Ron Rivera was there yesterday. The new head coach of the Washington Redskins. So the issue is for me with Radio Row as it was 10 years ago, and it's different now because the great shows, and by the way, great shows here on Sports Grid, great shows across the country. All the ESPN crews, Dan Patrick's show, Dan Lebatard's show, Colin Coward's show. These are the names that everybody knows in the industry. None of them are there on Radio Row. They all like set up shop around areas. It wasn't like that before. When I used to cover the Super Bowl, when back in my day, they were all there. They were all in the media center. And everybody who was anybody came through. Now it's a little bit different. I'm not saying that it's bad by any means, but for somebody like myself, it's more of the Super Bowl for me is more of a very cool event to cover for the first time. It was to me covering the Super Bowl and getting to go to the Super Bowl for the first time when I went to Atlanta, I believe. Yes, to Atlanta was amazing. Radio Row was I met Wayne Gretzky. Like it was like I was 30? I don't know, but it was incredible. I was in shock. It was amazing. And then the second time I went, it was, wow, I get to go to the Super Bowl and it's in Miami. It was amazing again. Then 2 years later, for some reason, they brought the Super Bowl back to Miami again, Joe. I don't know. It was like 2 and 3 or 2 and 4 years or something like that. And I saw Prince at the halftime show, and I saw Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, you got to see Prince in the rain play Purple Rain. I'm jealous of that, man. That's
Ashton
cool.
Kutcher was there with Demi Moore. Like Cal Ripken. It was incredible. Like, it was still pretty cool. But Joe, at that point, it was like, man, I think I'm good. You know, like, I've been through this a bunch of times. I didn't have kids at the time. And then there was one more Super Bowl. I'm like, all right, I'll do another one. I went to Tampa, which was actually a great game too. The Super Bowl where James Harrison had that 90-yard return for touchdown with Pittsburgh, Arizona. And
great game. And then, one of the better games too.
Exactly. That was a phenomenal game. And then Holmes in the back of the end zone. And after that, I said, you know what? I'm done. I think I've, if there's a company that wants me to cover their Super Bowl, I am very well versed and educated. And I feel one of the strongest things that I do is my ability to interview people. So yes, if that's what they want me to do, great. But I am certainly not going to push it. So with SiriusXM, I really, you know, for all these years, I didn't push it working for them. And, but long story short,
I think really it's too late for that, but yeah.
Short story long. Mm-hmm. Saturday night, taste of the NFL, Hollywood, Florida. The old people who were there are still there, and I am in the house for the taste.
The old people that are still there, and Craig Mish.
I am there. I am in the house covering Taste of the NFL Saturday night. So I will be covering it for, I don't know, Twitter. I mean, covering it for Sports Grid, FNTSY, my podcast, whatever. But I'll be doing some interviews.
Can you just enjoy it? Do you have to cover everything?
I'm getting a media credential, and the tickets are $700. So I think I got to do some work there. Yeah, I think if I bought a ticket, I could just enjoy it. Yeah, but I think I got to do the right thing. I mean, they're letting me in the door, right?
I guess so. I mean, by covering it, you could just go and enjoy it and then talk about it on Monday.
Yeah, right? But that's not enough.
Do you have to do to cover it? Do you have to be one of the people who takes pictures of all the food and then you put them on Instagram and stuff, and nobody likes that guy.
I think that's it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. There's a red carpet. There's a red carpet for an hour. So I'm thinking I'll go like take some pictures of like some celebrities and post those. Maybe I'll interview a couple. And then I'll go inside and I'll, you know, take some pictures, maybe do a couple interviews. I would say I'm thinking between 5 or 10 tweets. I'm not a huge, crazy tweeter, but I think that would do the job.
No, you're not. You're not an annoying tweeter. I don't know how these people just tweet all day. I got a couple of people, even like black book people who work for me, or I just see them on Twitter. Every time I'm on Twitter, they're on Twitter. And I'm not on Twitter all that much, but I'm there enough that I'm annoyed by Twitter. But I don't. I'm like, what do you guys do all day? How do you do this? And then they get in these conversations and these arguments with these people. And I'm like, what? There's got to be more to life than this. I don't understand this at all.
I'm on a lot. I'm on Twitter a lot, but a lot
that's
of it
different because you're breaking news.
But here is the difference.
You're not having arguments with some egg about, you know, whether or not VR is going to have a good season. You know what I mean?
Oh, I definitely don't do that. But no. But I also think there's a critical difference of being on Twitter as opposed to tweeting. Like, that's the difference. Like, I'm checking the news feed.
Fair.
I'm checking
that
to
is
see
correct.
What's happening.
You're right. Good point.
But every single second of the day, I'm not. And it's funny that if you wouldn't go back and check my specific feed, but I signed up for Twitter, I think in 2009 or whenever it started, I don't know, like maybe 10 years. And from last Thursday to yesterday was the longest period of time that I had not sent one thing ever since I started. Mm-hmm. And people were like, is he okay? What's going on? I'm like, they really
like,
were.
No, I'm just old. I just don't like anything anymore.
I did have a passing in the family. So I just, you know, I took a break for a while.
That's true. You did.
Right.
Have
and so I did. So I, you know, I thought that this would be a good time to just kind of step away. And then the Kobe Bryant thing happened. I'm like, what could I possibly add to this conversation? Nothing.
You nothing.
So. Exactly. So
I mean, none of us can really add anything to that conversation. You know, that's.
We would just be saying the same things that everybody else is saying. And again, it has been said very eloquently. So moral of the story, Saturday night, follow me on Twitter. I'll be covering the taste of the NFL.
For food picks.
Interesting for some. Well, I probably won't do that. But interesting for some, not interesting for others. Jeff Bridges is going to be there. He is the host.
Dude.
So that'll be something that I'll be interested in maybe interviewing him.
Are you a Lebowski, Craig Mish?
Of course. I've watched that movie.
Thank goodness. Now, did you know that they're doing a spinoff movie with John Turturro's character?
I did not.
Oh, yeah. It's already filmed. And it's apparently him coming out of prison. And it's him and Bobby Cannavale. And apparently John Turturro got the OK from the Coen brothers to kind of spurn off with this character of, as everyone knows from the Big Lebowski, Jesus, who is one of the more intimidating bowlers on the bowling scene over there in the Big Lebowski. So so keep an eye out for that one, because that looks like a fun
movie.
That's good
info. Is Jeff Bridges in that or no?
I don't know if he makes a cameo. I can only hope that he does. I'm not sure when the release date is, though, but I just read about it yesterday that this movie was coming out, and I was very excited because I thought, oh my gosh, maybe it's a Coen Brothers spinoff of Lebowski 2, and they're going to be involved in it. Now they're not, but you know, John Turturro is a pretty darn good, he's been around with the Coen Brothers in almost every one of their films. We're talking like Miller's Crossing, we're talking Barton Fink. I mean, he's worked with them for years. So if anybody can do that, he can. There's actually a trailer right now. It's called The Jesus Rolls. 2020 is actually coming out this year. So if you want to go see the trailer, it's out on YouTube right now.
All right, I'll check it out. Okay, back to some baseball conversation. Let's take a look at some average draft position, high, low, or the same. These are players between 300 and 350 in the NFBC in average draft position, Joe. So these are players in general not being drafted at all in 12-team leagues, 15-teamers toward the end of a draft, just simply making a decision. And, of course, in the NFBC, they're being drafted because clearly they have an NFBC ADP. Dylan Carlson of the St. Louis Cardinals, Joe, checks in at 311. Higher, lower, or the same in March?
I'm going to say higher. You know, I just feel like now that Ozuna's not the guy who's going to stop him, and now that Martinez is not there anymore, I just think it's going to be Dylan Carlson's time. And I think this is one of those things that there's no way he's going post-300 ADP by the time we get to, you know, I would say probably when pitchers and catchers report even. Because I think once he shows up there and once he's in spring training, people are going to start to be more aware of him. I only think this ADP is where it is right now is because I think the casual public of fantasy baseball is not truly aware of him yet. And the more they listen to shows like this or Black Book, they're going to become more and more aware of them. And when they are aware, they're going to start inflating the ADP. And I'll be part of that. I'll be part of that group doing that. And that's fine. But I think that he has a lot of upside. I think he's a guy that you're going to see play probably the bulk eventually when you look back at the end of the season. And I do think he is a prospect that is going to make a difference for them. And they've basically carved the path. I mean, it's hard not to argue that the Cardinals have carved out a path for him. And the only thing that could change that is a trade here for a Nolan Arenado type guy, which hasn't happened yet. And if it hasn't happened yet, I don't know if it's going to happen. But I would say higher. How about you, Craig? Don't you think he cracks the 300?
Yeah, I think so, too.
This is easy. Totally agree. Yeah, I think he could even crack 250 if he has a great spring.
Yeah, I would think that all of the drafts in March, he would. No doubt. Easy one for me. How about Anthony Santander on the Baltimore Orioles? Kind of a late season bloomer here. Very popular player, by the way, in Baltimore. ADP of 330 for Santander. I suppose if Baltimore does nothing between now and March, that there's a good chance he rises. But there'll be some question marks about him. Not a strong pedigree to do what he did last year.
No, there isn't. And because he kind of plays in anonymity in Baltimore, I don't think this is going to move. But I actually think he's going to be a useful guy. I think he's going to be very useful in AL-only leagues. He was a guy that Chris Meany and I were on for a while when he was being useful, as he was, in that Oriole lineup for very, very cheap. He was like a min-salary player who was getting you 9 points a night, basically. And that's not something to sneeze at. That's very important. Those kind of guys are good lineup builders. Allows you to go up to the top of the pitching board. I like him more in DFS for that same reason. When you could play the matchups with him, he's super cheap. I don't know if I love him in season-long baseball of any kind, but I think in DFS especially, I don't think the ADP is going to rise because the profile on him is very low and where he plays kind of suppresses it as well.
Okay, and let's do one more while we have the chance. Jose Peraza, who now seems to have an opening here to play every day, but man, I've been down this Peraza road, Joe, how many times, you know? Like,
does he have as much, or has that window closed a little bit with Moreland coming back? I feel like that window got a lot tighter with Moreland.
Well, who's
Moreland
the second
played
baseman?
A lot last year.
It's Chavis, sure.
Yeah. Well, Chavis is either the first baseman or the second baseman.
Yeah.
And Moreland and Chavis are infinitely better than Peraza. I think Peraza is basically like super utility right now because he can play the outfield, he can play the infield, he could pinch run. I think it's that kind of thing for him right now.
Peraza's one of those guys that is, I think, a borderline doesn't make the team.
I can see that, too.
Is a borderline right before opening day DFA. You know, like I could see that. And then he's in that DFA.
And he'll latch on with another team.
In the minors.
He'll latch on with another
team. In the minors and then have to build his way back up. I think that the shine is off him. So I agree with you. I'm just not going to touch this player.
Peraza is also a cautionary tale of overrating guys who have giant stolen base number in the minor leagues because he did. And there's a lot of guys that have that. And you have to realize that pitchers in the minor leagues don't do nearly as good of a job of keeping guys close to first base and catchers are runners. So you can't look at this guy and say, oh my God, this guy stole 80 bases and, you know, all this stuff. No, that's not going to happen in the big league level. Don't overrate that.
We got to take a quick timeout. We'll have the best of the first hour next, and then we'll come back for hour two. We got Buck Showalter coming up on the show. So stay tuned. More fantasy sports today. Don't go away.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/DUNK to learn more.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. I had a chance to really cover Curtis Granderson full time this past year when he was with the Miami Marlins, and obviously a season that I'm sure that he would admit was not his best, to put it mildly. He had a negative WAR last year and, you know, certainly on the field didn't do what he would have liked to do. But off the field, the Clemente winner, Martin Prado on my podcast said that he is the Jackie Robinson of this age, of this era. Once upon a time in fantasy, hit back-to-back 40 home run seasons with the New York Yankees, 2011, 2012. Was actually a pretty good player, too, when he moved over to the New York Mets at a pretty good on-base percentage, was still fantasy relevant as of like 3 years ago, was a base stealer in Detroit as well. But for all the things, I got to say, Joe, that he did on the field, and don't get me wrong, a great player, 344 home runs, 150 steals, on-base percentage of 337. That's excellent. I'm going to remember him for more of all the things that he did off the field with his foundation and the things that he did at his hometown of Chicago. You know, not even covering him full time prior to him coming with the Marlins would call me by name when I would see him in spring training. I was like, how would this guy even know my name? I was so like in awe of just how amazing he was, and always did things on his terms, was brought into Miami to just kind of develop some of those young kids and be a good personality and be a good guy for those kids, and mission accomplished there, and leaves nothing on the table, Joe, after playing Major League Baseball for a total of 16 years and another 4 years in the minor leagues, a 20-year career. And congratulations, Joe, to Curtis Granderson, who hangs it up today.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.